So I want to offer you blessings as we enter this season of Lent. This season of journeying with Jesus as we make our way toward Easter. But not only toward Easter, but we are on a journey toward life. For that is what Easter truly is. It isn't just a random holiday. It is a celebration of life. And not just any life. We are guided this Lenten season by the words, the promise that Jesus offers in the gospel. When Jesus says, "I came that they might have life and have it abundantly." We celebrate and seek abundant life. Now, at first glance, this can be an interesting juxtaposition, focusing on abundant and abundant life in a season often associated with giving things up and going without. Hey, it's Lent, let's give some things up and talk about abundant life, right? What's going on? But Lent isn't about suffering and wanting. Lent is about encountering the life story of the one who came to offer us that life abundant. And that is what we will do together in these weeks to come. So each and every week, we are going to sit with Jesus. We are going to sit with the different ways that Jesus offers us life. And I do mean sit with it. Thank you, Peter, for asking our question and giving us a moment to think. I want to remind you of the question. When is a time that you experienced forgiveness? How did it change you? I loved getting a text message from Peter as he was making the video. "Do you want me to just sit there and wait and stare at the camera?" Yes. Because we need the time, don't we? It's not helpful to just throw out a big, life-changing, life-perspective question and then be like, "And we're moving on." We need that moment. And honestly, we need even more than the 20 seconds that probably felt like 7 minutes while you sat there, Peter. But we sit together in a space of gratitude and reflection. And it is my sincere hope that you will make time this week to answer for yourself. And I want to thank those who have offered their answers for our daily devotional this week. We're going to hear from one another. Stories of experiencing forgiveness and the ways that it changes us. And not only will we consider our own answers and hear from others in the congregation, each week we will also hear an answer from our scriptures. Today, we are going to hear this question lived in the life of the woman with the alabaster jar. Let's hear that scripture now.
When one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him, he went to the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. A woman in town who lived a sinful life learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house. So she came there with an alabaster jar of perfume. As she stood behind him at his feet, weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and poured perfume on them. When the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would know who is touching him and what kind of woman she is, that she is a sinner." Jesus answered him, "Simon, I have something to tell you." "Tell me, teacher," he said. "Two people owed money to a certain money lender. One owed him 500 denarii, and the other 50. Neither of them had the money to pay him back, so he forgave the debts of both. Now which of them will he love more?"
Simon replied, "I suppose the one who had the bigger debt forgiven." "You have judged correctly," Jesus said. Then he turned toward the woman and said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I came into your house. You did not give me any water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but this woman, from the time I entered, has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet. Therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, as her great love has shown. But whoever has been forgiven little loves little. Mm. Then Jesus said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." The other guests began to say among themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Appreciate you, houses. Now, this is a story that shows up in all three of what we call the synoptic gospels, right? So this is Matthew, Mark, and Luke. The three of these gospels share so much material, and stories regularly show up in like varying combinations. Two of them, three of them, these two, that two. In Matthew and Mark, this story does appear, but it's a bit briefer. And it has a vignette with the other people in the room upset that the money could have helped the poor. But Luke's version, well, Luke's version just hits different. There's still controversy, but this time it's not over the cost of the perfume, but it's about the woman herself. She was uninvited. She just walked into someone's house and interrupted what was going on. But most of the point of contention was about her status. You see, as the scriptures write, this was a sinful woman, the kind of person that was not to be associated with. And the rule-enforcing religious leaders in the room once again look at Jesus and fault him for the company he keeps. This is who you let touch you? This is who you spend time with? We knew you were trouble. And so Jesus pushes back, and Jesus pushes back hard, not only honoring and validating this woman's status with God, which he knows is unquestioned, but he also takes it up a notch and begins to critique his host. Did you hear this? "Do you see this woman? I came into your house. You did not offer me water for my feet, but she wet my feet and wiped them with her own hair. You didn't give me a kiss, but this woman from the time I entered hasn't stopped kissing my feet. You didn't put oil on my head. She poured perfume upon my feet." Hello, who's doing what here? Jesus says. I mean, I know Yelp wasn't a thing back then, but I'm pretty sure Jesus just left a pretty harsh review. 1 star, would not recommend Pharisees. Because then he looks at this woman and he says, "Your sins are forgiven." And this astonishes those in his presence. I mean, the other guests begin saying among themselves, "Who is this that even forgives sins?" Now, this is a line I've always bristled at. Throughout the scriptures, people hear Jesus say, "Your sins are forgiven." And they say, "Who is he to forgive sins?" Here's the thing. I'm not sure in that moment, in any of those moments, that Jesus was actually forgiving the sins. I don't think Jesus was walking around with an eraser and being like, "Oh, right now, okay, poof, there you go." What Jesus was doing when he said, "Your sins are forgiven," I think Jesus was helping people see that their sins were already forgiven. Already forgiven. See, I don't think God's love and grace was waiting for Jesus to randomly pick a few people out of the crowd. "Oh, Jesus said so, okay, I'll forgive her now." That's not how God's love and God's grace works. This woman was already forgiven. The love of God had already met her right where she was. But she couldn't see or feel it. And so Jesus reminds her. Jesus reminds her that God's grace and forgiveness is proactive and prevenient. It's there before we know. So this way, Jesus could go up to anyone and say, "Your sins are forgiven," and it was true. There's not a single person in the world Jesus could not have looked at and said, "Your sins are forgiven," because God's grace is that broad. But being forgiven and feeling forgiven, now those are two different things. And that is one of the differences between the host and this woman. I tell you, the host doesn't even acknowledge he needs forgiveness. And so he's not feeling it. Because he doesn't even realize how much he needs it. She, on the other hand, feels the need for the forgiveness and receives it gracefully and gratefully. I mentioned these other two gospels mention the perfume, but Luke is the only one who talks about how she washes Jesus' feet. Did you hear it? "As she stood behind him weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears." Her tears. This woman, this judged and maligned woman, carrying so much grief and pain that her tears were adequate to wash Jesus' feet. I mean, this just pulls at my heart. I've seen this pain when I've sat with others. I felt this pain in my own life at times, right? That the sadness, the grief, the feeling of brokenness and uncertainty, the feeling of being alone, the feeling of worry, all those things that leave us in a place of just crying. And so I want to remind you, I want to remind all of us, your tears are valid. Your tears are valid because your feelings are valid. And your feelings are valid because you are valid. And so here she is with her valid feelings and her valid tears on display for everyone to see. And I tell you, I'm so glad Jesus was in the room, because you know what she needed? She needed someone who would see her and honor her feelings, her sadness, her pain. Someone who would see her and recognize and not judge the shame or fear she was carrying, who wouldn't pile on the grief and the guilt she was carrying. She needed someone who would see and respect the emotional exhaustion that she held. Because what we find in our scripture today is something incredibly human. We may not all stand in a crowded room weeping, but sadness and pain, shame and fear, grief and guilt, emotional exhaustion, these are human experiences we all carry. And carrying them takes a toll. Can we just take a moment and with a gentle sigh acknowledge that reality? I mean, there are things in life we said that we wish we wouldn't have said. There are things we wish we would have said that we didn't say. There are things we did we wish we hadn't. And there are things we didn't do that we wish we would have, right? And we carry these things. These are human experiences, and we carry them. And whether in front of a crowded room or completely alone, whether literally or metaphorically, there are moments that all we can do is weep because of them. Moments we weep at the thought of failures or shortcomings or imperfections. And this is where we revisit the truth that being forgiven and feeling forgiven can be two very different things. There is nothing in her life she could have done that God would not have forgiven. And as I said, I believe God had forgiven her long before she encountered Jesus, long before she was told she was forgiven. She'd already received that love and the grace, but she didn't feel it. She could not know life abundant without the gift that Jesus offered her, an acknowledgement of her pain and the reminder of God's love. And so Jesus tells a story about two people whose debts are forgiven. And he has the host speak aloud. Okay, somebody gets 50 forgiven, somebody gets 500 forgiven. Who's more grateful? And if we can just savor the passive-aggressive response, I suppose the one who had the bigger debt. Oh, I suppose, he says. Thanks, Simon. Of course it's the one with the bigger debt. There's no supposing about that. And then Jesus fits in a critically important phrase. Whoever has been forgiven little, loves little. This is not a threat. It's more of a warning, a powerful observation, because newsflash, every single person alive is the one with the big debt. I know Jesus put two people in the story, but the person who doesn't need much forgiveness does not exist. That's why Jesus tells a story. We are all the person with a lot. We are. And if we're walking around with sadness and pain, shame and fear, grief and guilt, emotional exhaustion, that is a load that will keep us from life. We need to know and feel and hear God's forgiveness so that there is more room in our lives for the life abundant Jesus offers. Because that pain, if we don't see the forgiveness, if we don't begin to experience the forgiveness, as Jesus noted, it's hard to love when we're carrying all of that. And not just love for others, but our ability to love ourselves. Jesus reminds us we are forgiven so we might love ourselves the way God loves us. And here we see love and forgiveness in parallel. Because just as there's a difference between being forgiven and feeling forgiven, there's also a difference between being loved and feeling love. And so Jesus proclaims, not just in our scripture sometime long ago. Jesus proclaims again today God's forgiveness for all of us, that we might feel that forgiveness, so that we might feel more love in our lives. Now, today's communion, and I want to offer you a couple words we don't usually use. They're from the traditional communion liturgy. We're going to do our sung responses here in just a moment. Peter, I'll let you get in space. But as we get ready for this, there's the traditional communion liturgy often has something called the prayer of confession, where we sit and read, like, here's how we've screwed up, God. Here's how we've screwed up. And following the prayer of confession, there is a moment where we hear these words. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners, and that proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Please remember, I'm not the one that makes the forgiveness happen. I'm just here to remind you that God already has.